Okay, today's daf is Arachim daf Ches. We left off at the beginning of the second parak. So we're going to begin the parak today. So we are going to, and today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him so very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing the Mishnah is going to discuss, the minimum and the maximum in Erech payments. What is the minimum amount that a person could pay and the maximum amount that a person could pay? And that sets the tone for the entire rest of the parak, because then every Mishnah and the rest of the parak, including all the Mishnahs we're going to have in today's daf, all discuss minimums and maximums of something. So first the Gemara is going to discuss some of the details of Arachin, that what if an Ani, who really is only supposed to pay the very minimal amount of a Sela, what if he has more than a Sela to his name? He doesn't have as much as he needs to pay the full Erech value, but he has more than a Sela to his name. Or what if an Ani has two Erech values that he has to take care of? How does he handle that if he doesn't have enough for even one Erech Vow? Then the next Mishnah, Namad Aleph, is going to discuss the minimum and maximum number of days it would take a woman to reset when she's not sure if she's holding in Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva. Meaning she sees some dam, she's not sure, am I a Nida or am I a Zava? What would it take? How many days of not bleeding would it take to know that the next time she bleeds, she's most certainly a Nida? The Gemara is going to discuss what to do about the Karban, if she might be a Zava but might be a Nida, because only a Zava Gedolda brings a Karban, a Nida does not bring a Karban, so how does she handle that element of the Suffolk? Then the Mishnah number, the first Mishnah number Beis, is going to talk about the minimum and the maximum amount of Yimei Hesker for Tzara'as, before we determine whether something has Tzara'as, whether it's a certain Tzara'as, there is a period of time where it's in limbo. So what is the minimum amount that time could be, and what is the maximum amount that time could be? And then the Mishnah on the bottom, which we probably won't get to today, at least we'll probably pick up with tomorrow, is the minimum and maximum amount of 30-day months in a year. When you have a Jewish year, so we know the months could either be 29 days or 30 days, what is the minimum and maximum number, before they had a set calendar, what are the minimum and maximum amounts of months that you could have as a 30-day month and as a 29-day month? So let's begin the Perek. In Parshas Arachin, the largest Erech that you have in the Torah is Chamishim Shkalim. The Torah says that for a male between the ages of 20 and 60, it's Chamishim Shekel Kesef B'Shekel HaKodesh. The smallest Erech that's recorded in the Torah is Shlosha Shkalim. Pasuk says, Mi Ben Chodesh Ad Ben Chameshanim, from a 30-day-old to a 5-year-old, so for a male it's Chamisha Shkalim Kesef, and a female is Shlosha Shkalim Kesef. So a female between 30 days and 5 years is the smallest Erech in the Torah. But the Torah also accounts for someone who's an ani and can't afford to pay for a full erech payment. The Torah tells us, "V'imach hu me'erkecha v'hamidu l'fnei ha'kohen v'herich oso ha'kohen al pi asher tasig yad hanoder yarichenu ha'kohen." That it's based on what he could afford. So says the Mishnah, "Ein barachin pachos misela v'lo yesra al chamishim sela." That whenever paying an erech, it's never less than a sela, nor more than 50 sela. Kate said. So when an ani says erki alai, and he's let's say a 20-year-old male, so it should really be Chamishim Shkalim. So Nosan Sela, the halacha is if he gave a Sela and then Ha'eshir, and then subsequently he becomes rich, he doesn't have to give anything else, because he was already Yotzei his Neder by giving the Sela while he was an Ani, because that's what he was required to do. But Pachos Misela, if he gave less than a Sela, Ha'eshir, and then he became wealthy, then Nosan Chamishim Sela. Now that he became wealthy, he has to give the Chamishim Sela, because he was not Yotzei his Erech payment by just giving a Sela earlier on, giving less than a Sela, he's not Yotzei the Neder, because the Ein Barachin Pachos Misela, you never have less than a Sela by an Erech, so he still has that Chiyuv, and the halach is that an Ani Shehashir, if he becomes rich before he pays up the vow, the halach is, we're going to see in the Mishnah later on, in Daf Yud Zayin, that he has to give the Erech like an Ashir would, and not like not like an ani. Tosfos points out, lav dafka if he gave pachas misela, even if he gave the entire erech except for a sela, and then he became rich, then we make him pay the whole thing, because he didn't pay everything that he had to pay. But from the lashon of the Mishnah says that im hashir, he gives 50 sela, doesn't say he's mashlum l'chamishim sela. Sounds like that pachas misela that he gave when he was an ani doesn't even count toward the cheshbon, Tosfos says. Meaning it makes it sound like let's say he gave a half a seller and then he becomes rich. So what does he give now? 50 seller or 49 and a half? So the implication of the Mishnah is that he would have to give 50, that it doesn't, mamish doesn't count as anything. But that is a major discussion in the Rishonim and Acharonim, exactly how we do the math on that. Then the Mishnah says that if an ani is chayiv in his own erech, but hayu biyadav chamesh slaim, let's say he had 5 sela to his name, not just 1 sela. So Meir Omer Einu Nosin Ela Achas. Still, if he's not going to give the full amount, he only gives 1. That's the chiyuv. V'chamim Omerim Nosin Es Kulan. No, he's got to give whatever he has. Meaning, just because he can give as little as a sela, it doesn't mean that that's all he should give. He should give whatever he's got. Ein ba'arachin apachus misela v'lo yesra al chamishim sela. And then the Mishnah, for some reason, and we'll see what that reason is later, for some reason repeats this halacha, that the minimum is always going to be a sela, the maximum is always going to be chamishim sela. So ein berichin pachas misela. So we said that the minimum amount is a sela. Minalan, how do I know that the minimum amount that an ani is ever going to have to pay is a sela? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says v'kol erkecha yia b'shekel hakodesh, kol arachin sha'atamarich lo yupchusin mishekel. That we learn from there that any time you give an erech, it always has to be at least a shekel. A shekel is another word for sela. Yisrael chamishim slaim. How do I know the maximum amount is going to be chamishim slaim? It says it in the Chumash. Tuchsiv chamishim. Possibly that one's straight out there, right? That says it when you go through all the different amounts for different ages and for male and female. Chamishim is the maximum amount for the male between the ages of 20 and 60. Now the Gemara turns its attention to the machlokas we had in the Mishnah. What if the ani has 5 sela? What do you do? So Rav Meir says that no sin, you only have to give 1, and the Chum say no sin is kulan. So my time with Rav Meir, why does Rav Meir say that you only give 1 sela? He has more than 1. Why shouldn't he have to give as much as he can? Because ksiv chamishim uksiv shekel. O chamishim, o shekel. The Torah says chamishim, and the Torah says kol erkecha yeh b'shekel. So those are your options. The Torah is telling you it's either you give the full amount, or you give a shekel if you can't afford the full amount. For Rabbanan, why did Rabbanan hold that you give whatever you have and you don't just give the minimum of a shekel? Hahu l'kol arachin shatamarich lo yupchusu mishekel hu da'asa. Now that's telling me that any erech that you are marich should never be less than a shekel. But hecha di'islei, but when you have more than a sela, amar kra, asher tasi gad hanoder. Pasuk also has this phrase, asher tasi gad hanoder, which means whatever you could afford. Vare yodam aseges. And if you could afford more than a sela, so good, give more than a sela. No, it doesn't have to give only a sela. He should give at least whatever he could afford. Rav Meir, what's he going to do with the phrase asher tasig yad hanoder? Sounds like he should give whatever he can afford. Hahu yad hanoder velo yad hanidar huda asa. That's coming to tell me that we judge it based on what the noder can afford, not what the nidar can afford. Let's say an ani is ma'arich an ashir, so you give the erech of an ani and not the erech of an ashir. I might say that if a poor person says, I'm going to give the erech of Ploni, and Ploni happens to be a wealthy person, even though the person who took the vow is an ani, that he's automatically going to be chayiv based on what the usher could afford. That's a little bit of a strange havamina. Why would you think that you should be nidon based on the hesag yad of the nidar, that you need a pasuk to tell me not to assess it in that way? So that's a little bit difficult. So the in Parshas Arachin it says chamishim and then it says shekel. So it sounds like misvara. If he doesn't have enough money, we would judge based on what he could afford. Because otherwise, why would you say shekel? There's there's no shekel amount in Parshas Arachin. So there's makom to say that the Torah needs to say asher tasik to tell me that it's tali on the hesag yad of the nidar, and I need me because me svara, I would have known that the hesed got of the noder. So that's how some of the achronim explain what the hava mina is over here. That the need for a pasuk to tell me that it's based on someone's hesed yad would only be if it's based on the nidar. Because if it's based on the noder, just mention the idea that there's a shekel, and then I realize that that we'll make adjustments based on the noder. So it says more of Rabbanon, and how did Rabbanon hold to learn from the pasuk asher tasig yad a noder? They have to pay whatever you can afford. The pasuk isn't the pasuk needed to tell me that we base it on the noder and not on the nidar. So the more answers, even though the pasuk is needed to tell me that it's based on the noder, lav memele sham mina deicha diyada masagas shekol minei. We figure out just from the pshuto shel mikra that when it says asher tasig, that if you could afford it, you take whatever you could afford, and therefore if he has five slaim, so you take all five slaim from him. So Amar Avad Barava, how you be of chamish slaim? What if a guy had five slaim, va'amar erki alai, and he commits to give his erech, v'chazer va'amar erki alai, and then again he makes another commitment to give his erech, v'nasan arba l'shnia, and he paid up four slaim to the second neder, because for whatever reason they first assess him for the second neder, and then the echad l'rishona, and then he gives the one remaining selah for the first neder, yatzi yidei shtayin. He has now been yotzei both chiyuvin, even according to the chamim, well, that you have to give whatever it is that you have. My time, why is it that he's yotzei yidei shneihem? Because balchov mu'uchar shekadim v'gava, ma shegava gava. That if you owe two people money, and the later balchov comes and collects first, even though that's not supposed to happen, if he comes and collects first, it is a valid collection. So that's why you're yotzei the second payment when you paid four slaim toward the second payment, because and there was nothing wrong with paying the second payment first, even though you're going to be left with less to pay off the first payment, and we shouldn't be wondering how could be yotzei the second neder. Wait a second, you didn't give everything that you have to the second neder, because be'idna diyav l'shniya mishabed the rishona. You didn't have to give everything that you had to the second neder, because when you paid off the second neder, you had already a shibud to the first one. So even what you were giving the second neder was more than it really deserved. So that's why you're able to be yotzei the second neder without giving everything you've got. And what about the first neder? In the diav l'rishona, sulesle, by the time you came to pay off the first neder, all you had was a shekel, and that's why you're yotzei with that single shekel for the first neder. That's why, even according to the Rabbanan, you would be yotzei both nedarim if you pay out of your five shekelim, you pay four to the second neder, and then one to your first neder. But, says Rav Adbarava, nasan arba l'rishona, if a person gave four of the slaim to the first neder, to pay off the first neder, achas l'shnia, and then the one remaining shekel for the second neder, yidei shnia yotza. He's yotzei the second neder, but yidei rishona lo yotza. He's yotzei the second neder because he gave whatever he had to the second neder, and it was at least a sella. But the first one he was not yotzei, because kulu meshubad in the rishona, because everything he had was meshubad to the first one, and he didn't pay everything he had. He left a dollar off the amount. All five slaim were meshubad to the rishona, and he only gave four slaim to the rishona. So that Rav Adbarav is confident about. But he has the following shayla. By Rav Adbarav, hayu biyadu chamish slaim, what if a person has five slaim, va'amar shnei erchai alai bebas achas, that I'm accepting upon myself two erch vows simultaneously. So mahu, what's the halacha? Kivin the bas achas nadar ki hadadi tafsan. Do we assume that both nedarim are chal simultaneously, and therefore the five slaim are equally meshubud to both of the nedarim? So when the kohen comes to collect, you have tarti yupal galahai, v'tarti yupal galahai. He's just split it, meaning assuming like the sheet of the chum that you don't just give one sela for each neder. You got to give whatever you have. So now do you just split it and give two and a half to each? Or do you say that all five slaim are ro'i for each one, and he's not yotzei by giving two and a half to either one of them, and he's got to decide, he'll be yotzei one but not the other? So the Gemara leaves this unresolved. We don't have a psak. Then the Mishnah had repeated, wasn't such a long Mishnah, and yet the very first line of the Mishnah, the very last line of the Mishnah, repeat itself. It tells us again that the minimum amount you're ever going to pay for an erech is a selah, the maximum amount is going to be chamishim selah. So hasulamali, why does the Mishnah have to tell me this din again? Hakamashmon, so answer Gemara, now here's the chiddush, that pachus misela hu deleka, hayeser al sela ika. You never have less than a sela by arachim, but more than a sela you do have. And an ani that's judged based on what he could afford can give more than a sela, even if that more than a sela is not the full erech payment. Meaning the full erech payment, let's say, is 50. He only has 5 slaim, he can give 5 slaim and he's yotze. Yeser al chamishim hu deleka, hapachus mi chamishim ika. You never have more than 50, but sometimes you'll have less than 50, even if your chiyuv should have been 50, if you can't afford 50. Ustamak Rabbanan. And that's just saying that the end of the Mishnah is creating a stam Mishnah like the Rabbanan. I mean, the first line of the Mishnah was telling us, assuming that you're very poor and you only have a sela, so that's the minimum amount you could ever pay. Assuming you're rich and you could afford whatever, the maximum is going to be 50 sela. The next time it says that same line of the minimum and the maximum, it's telling me the sheet of the Rabbanan that anywhere in between is also a possibility. That even though your chiyuv should have been 50, it could be that you'll pay 48, it could be that you'll pay 30, it could be that you'll pay any number in between, based on kafi asher asigado, based on whatever it is that a person could afford. So that was the part of this perek that talks about arachim. The rest of the perek is just going to be about minimums and maximums. So once we said what the minimum erech payment is and the maximum erech payment is, so now the Mishnayos continue to discuss other minimums and maximums. So in order to understand the Mishnah, we're about to do a little bit of a Chumash lesson. The Chumash tells us in Vayikra, Perek Tezvav, that if a woman bleeds, it's not clear what her halachic status is. There are two possibilities. We don't have enough information just by saying that she bled, that the blood came from her uterus, that we don't yet have enough information to know what her halachic status is. We need to know when that blood came out from her uterus. Did it come during the Yemei Nida, or did it come during the Yemei Ziva? There are certain times of the month where a woman is eligible to become a Nida, and certain times of the month where she's eligible to become a Zava. So if a woman has bleeds during Yemei Nida, the halach is she's tamei shivas yamim. She's tamei for 7 days total. She could bleed for 6 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes. Doesn't matter. A total of 7 days of tumah goes to the mikvah, and she is then perfectly tahora. If a woman bleeds during the Yemei Ziva, well, then it depends how long she bled for. If she bleeds for 1 day of Yemei Ziva, so good. That day she's obviously tamei. The next day she can go to the mikvah ready during the daytime, but she has to make sure that she doesn't bleed at all the next day, and then she's tahora going forward. If she bleeds for 2 days, so she's tamei for those 2 days. The next day she has to make sure she doesn't bleed. Again, she can go to the mikvah during the day, but she has to make sure that she doesn't bleed, and then she's tahora after that. But if she bleeds for 3 consecutive days during the Yemei Ziva, then she is going to be tamei until she has Shiva Nakim. So she's gonna, if she bleeds for 5 straight days, which is obviously very common, so she bleeds 5 straight days, 6 straight days, then she's still not going to be tahora until she has 7 clean days of no bleeding. That's what we call a Zava Gedola. Once the Yemei Nida are over, the next 11 days are days where Ziva could happen. If those 11 days pass without incident and nothing happens, then the next time she bleeds, she will again be a Nida, right? She doesn't have to be a Zava, right? There are 11 days after the Yemei Nida end where she's Zava eligible, and that's what we call the Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida Lenida. The 11 days between Nida eligible periods, and those 11 days are the days where she's eligible for Ziva. Now those 11 days, if she becomes a Zava Gedola during those 11 days, then the Yemei Ziva extend until she has Shiva Nekiyim. And then once she has Shiva Nekiyim, then she'll be ready for Yemei Nida to begin again. So our Mishnah discusses, that's the basic explanation. The Rambam has an unusual shita about how to do all these cheshbonos, so that's why we don't do any of these cheshbonos. Meaning this became already in times of the Gemara, it became too difficult to figure out what's Yimei Nida, what's Yimei Ziva, do we pass on like the Rambam, do we pass on like Rashi and the Ramban, how do we figure it all out? So they already made a chumrah in the times of the Gemara, in the times of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi already, they made a chumrah to always assume the worst. That if a woman, meaning our mission is very relevant in a certain sense, not relevant in another sense, but to always assume the suffix, always assume the worst, always assume that if she bleeds for one day, oh, that must have been Yimei Nida. If she bleeds for 2 days, then the first day must have been the last of the Yimei Ziva, and the second day must have been the first of the Yimei Nida, so that, you know, you count six more. If she bleeds for 3 days, I'll assume they were all Yimei Ziva, so she's going to require Shiva Nekiyim. And then in a later generation, in the days of Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Benos Yisrael Lechmira Alatzman, Shafil Rose Tipas Tam Kachad Al Yashvasal Shiva Nekiyim. That the Benos Yisrael accepted upon themselves that even if they see just one drop of blood, Kechardel, the size of a mustard seed, one day they assume Zava Gedola, they assume that they require Shiva Nekiyim, seven clean days. So that's quite a chumrah to assume that, but that's the assumption that we make, that no matter how short a woman's period is, no matter what amount of time it is that she bleeds, it's always going to require Shiva Nekiyim. We always assume Zava Gedola. We don't do Karbanos anymore. Zava Gedola brings Karbanos. We don't do that, but we still observe Shiva Nekiyim. And that's never a cheshbon otherwise, meaning we're not even sarif as a sniff lahakel, other than one tshuva in the Gali Masechta, and Rav Gustman also used it as a sniff. But other than that, those are the only two Mar Makomas I'm aware of where anyone was even ever mitzarif as a sniff lahakel, certainly not to be makel directly, but as a sniff lahakel, that if a woman only bled for one day, she's not a zava gadola anyway, and maybe she doesn't require shiva nekiyim. We don't find that in poskim at all. I am mentioning this because someone, I was at a chasna last night, and someone said to me, I heard of a particular posuk in Eretz Yisrael that when a woman had an unclean badika, and it was before her wedding, and she was worried about a chuppas nida, that he said, she's probably just a zava katana. No, we don't do that. That is not at all. No one's ever in the history of psak. No one ever would have such a psak. That's stunning. So you must have heard incorrectly. So ein pesach patoa pachos mi shiva avelo yesel shiva asur. Let's say a woman bleeds and she has no idea. Is this Yimei Nida? Is this Yimei Ziva? She wasn't paying attention beforehand. She didn't think she had to pay attention. She wasn't married. She's 20 years old now. She just got married, and she's had Nida before in her life, but it never mattered. Now, because it used to matter because of Tumentara, so they always had to be aware of it. So you were always keeping cheshbon, but she has no idea. So it's always going to be a minimum of 7 days of not bleeding before she can figure out, before she can know that the next bleeding is going to be a nida. But it's never going to take more than 17 days. So the Gemara is going to explain how that all works out. So Tan Rabbanan, the Bryce explains it. A woman who made a mistake in the cheshbon of Yimei Nida, she has no idea if she's in Yimei Nida or Yimei Ziva, and she says, I saw Dam for one day. So, Pischa Shiva Asar. She's going to need 17 days in order to know for sure whether she's in order to know for sure that the next time she bleeds, she will be a Nida. Why? Because let's assume that it was Yimei Ziva that she saw the Dam on. Okay, she's a Zava Katana. So let's say it was the first of the Yimei Ziva. So it will take 11 days till those Yimei Ziva are over. And then the next time she bleeds, she'll be ready, she'll have her Pesach Nida. So that would be the end of it. However, if the day of the Re'iyah was the first of the Yimei Nida, well then she's going to have 7 days of Yimei Nida, followed by 11 days of Yimei Ziva, and therefore, in addition to the day that she just saw, there are going to be 17 more days before she can have her Pesach Nida, before she could know that she's going to be a Nida. Shnei Yamim Tamei Re'isi, Pischa Shiva Asar. Also, if she saw dam for 2 days, it's also going to take 17 additional days before she knows for sure that she'll be able to be a nida. Why? Because if she saw for 2 days, there are three possibilities of what those 2 days were, right? Possibility number one is that both of those days were yimei nida, which would mean she has 5 more days of yimei nida, followed by 11 days of yimei ziva, which would mean 16 more days. And then after the 16 days, she'd be ready for a nida. So that's not the maximum. A second possibility is that both of those days are yimei ziva, which would mean she only needs to do 9 more days of yimei ziva, and then the next time she'll already be a nida. So it would only be 9 more days before her Pesach nida. But the worst case scenario is the first of the 2 days that she saw was yimei ziva. The second of the 2 days was yimei nida. So she needs 6 more yimei nida plus 11 yimei ziva, and only after that 6 plus 11, only after that 17, only then will she be ready for knowing for sure that it's yimei nida afterwards. Then we have a case, shloshi yamim tamei reisi. What if a woman says, I saw dam for 3 straight days? Still, pischa shiva asar. Worst case scenario is that it's going to be 17 additional days. How so? Because again, 3 possibilities. There are more than 3, but 3 that matter. One possibility is that all 3 days were yimei nida. If all 3 days were yimei nida, let's see if we can do the math now, right? If all 3 days are yimei nida, so how many more yimei nida does she have? 4 more yimei nida, followed by 11 yimei ziva, which means 15 additional days before she can know that the next bleeding she sees is dam nida. If all 3 days were yimei ziva, now she becomes a Zava Gadola. Okay, Zava Gadola, but the next 3 days, the next 7 days are her Shiva Nikim, but they're all during the Yimei Ziva anyway. And then the day after that, she's still holding in Yimei Ziva, because it's day 11 of the Yimei Ziva, and then she's fine after that. So it would only be 8 additional days beyond the 3 days that she saw. But that's not the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is the first 2 of the days are Yimei Ziva. The third day is Yimei Nida, so she has 6 more Yimei Nida, plus 11 Yiral V'yom Shebein Nida L'Nida, 11 Yimei Ziva, 6 plus 11, that's 17 days, and then the next time she sees, she will be a Nida. So that's if she sees for Shloshiyam. Arba'a Yamim Tamei Re'isi, if she says, I saw Dam for 4 straight days, then the numbers start going down. Pischa shisha asar. Then the maximum she'll have to wait is an additional 16 days. When we say 16 days, it means not 16 including the days that she saw, 16 clean days, 16 of not seeing anything. Why 16? What's the worst case scenario? We don't have to go through all the scenarios by each one. Let's go through the worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario that would lead you to 16 days? What if the first 2 of those days were yimei ziva that she saw done? Then the next 2 of those days are yimei nida. So how many more yimei nida does she have? 5 more yimei nida, because yimei nida is always a total of 7 from the time she starts bleeding. 5 more yimei nida, plus 11 yimei ziva, that's your 16 days. And then the next time she sees dam, she will be be a nida. Chamisha yamim tamei reisi, pischa chamisha asar. If she saw for 5 straight days, then it's only going to take 15 additional days. Why? Worst case scenario is that the first 2 days of those 5 days that she saw were yimei ziva. The next 3 days were yimei nida. So she has 4 more days of yimei nida, plus 11 days of yimei ziva. So 4 plus 11, that's 15. And then after that, she's ready to become a nida again. Shisha yamim tamei reisi, pischa arba'a asar. If she saw for six straight days, then it's going to take 14 additional days. Because again, the first 2 days that she saw might have been yimei ziva. The next 4 might have been yimei nida. Okay, but then she only has 3 more Yimei Nida, plus 11 Yimei Ziva, that's 14 days. And then if it's Shiva Yamim Tamei Reisi, if she saw for 7 straight days, Pischa Shlosha Asar, Cheshbon keeps being the same, because the first 2 days might have been Yimei Ziva, the next 5 days might have been Yimei Nida, she still has 2 more Yimei Nida, plus the next 11 Yimei Ziva, so that's 2 plus 11, that's 13 in total. Shmona Yamim Tamei Reisi, if she bled for 8 days, Pischa Shneimasar, it will only take a maximum of 12 days to set her straight, because the worst case scenario when she bled for 8 days is that the first 2 are Yimei Ziva, the next 6 were Yimei Nida, she only has 1 more Yimei Nida and 11 Yimei Ziva, that's a total of 12. Tisha Yam Tamirisi, if she bled for 9 days, Pischa Chadasar, then it's only going to take her 11 days to get straightened out, because if she bled for 9 days, the worst case scenario is that the first 2 of those are Yimei Ziva, the next 7 are Yimei Nida, and now she only has Yud Alef Yom, Shebein Nida Lenida, because she had all 7 Nida days covered in the time that she actually bled. So Pesach is Achadasar. What if Asari Yamim Tamiri Isi? What if she says she bled for 10 straight days? Then Pischa Asara. Then it's only going to take her 10 more days to straighten out. Why? The first 2 days that she bled might have been Yimei Ziva. The next 7 days that she bled might have been Yimei Nida. The next day that she bleeds, the 10th day that she bleeds, might have been the first of the Yimei Ziva, which leaves her with only 10 more Yimei Ziva to take care of before her Yimei Ziva are over. Achadasar, if she bleeds for 11 days, Pischa Tisha. Then she's only going to need 9 more days, because again, if she bleeds for 11 days, the first 2 may have been Yimei Ziva, the middle 7 Yimei Nida, the next 2 Yimei Ziva, which leaves her with only 9 more Yimei Ziva, and then she's ready to be a Nida. Shneimasar, we go through every possibility. Shneimasar, if she bleeds for 12 straight days, Pischa Shmona. Then it's going to take 8 days. Be 8 additional days before she's ready to have Yimei Nida again. Why? How is it going to be 11 days? Because if the first 2 days that she bled were Yimei Nida, then the next 7 days that she bled were the first 2 days were Yimei Ziva always, then the next 7 days were Yimei Nida, then the next 3 days, because there were 3 more days, were Yimei Ziva. Ooh, wait a second. If the next 3 days were Yimei Ziva, what does she require? Shiva Nikiyam now. So good. So then after she finishes bleeding, she'll have Shiva Nikiyam, but there's still 1 more day, because if she had 3 days of Yimei Ziva of bleeding and then 7 clean days, she hasn't finished her 11 days of Yimei Ziva. So she'll have 1 more day of Yimei Ziva, and then she'll have a Pesach Nida. So the whole thing will take 8 days after she finishes bleeding. And then finally, Shlosha Asar, if she bleeds for 13 straight days, Pischa Shiva. It's only going to take 7 days before she has her Pesach Nida, because and this can play out in any number of ways. If she bleeds for 13 days, let's imagine the following. Let's go through. It could be 4 different ways that it's going to take till only an additional 7 days. Let's imagine that the first 7 days that she bled, again, she bled for 13 days. The first 7 days are all Yimei Nida. Good. Then the next 6 days that she bleeds are the first 6 of her Yimei Ziva. So then you'll say, okay, but she only has 5 more Yimei Ziva. Not so, because if she bled for 7 straight days during Yimei Ziva, she needs Shiva Nikiyam. So it's going to take Shiva Nikiyam before she can begin Yimei Nida again. So that's why it's going to take 7 days. Or let's imagine that all of the days that she bled started off her Yimei Ziva. That the first 11 days all started her Yimei Ziva. Remember, if a woman becomes a Zava Gadola, then the Yimei Ziva lasts longer than 11 days. Yimei Nida can only start up again after she has Shiva Nikiyam. So she became a Zava Gadola by bleeding all through the 11 scheduled days of Yimei Ziva, and then an additional 2 days. Then she has to wait 7 more clean days. Or even imagine the first 2 days are Yimei Ziva. Then the next 7 days that she bleeds are Yimei Nida. Then the next 4 days are Yimei Ziva. But again, she still needs Shiva Nikiyam. So no matter how it plays out, or if all the days were Yimei Ziva, no matter how it plays out, she's going going to require shivanikim, and that's why. And once she has those shivanikim, if you know for sure that she's a zavah gadol, she bled long enough. Basically, what this last case is just saying is that it doesn't matter where she was holding. If she bled for 13 straight days, she is definitely a zavah gadola. And is going to and is ready for Shiva Nikiyim, and by the time those Shiva Nikiyim are over, the Yud Aleph Yom will be over as well. So in that case, the Shiva Nikiyim is all you're ever going to require. She'ein Pesach B'Toa Pachos Mishiva Lo Yaser Al Shiva Asar. Now, whenever a woman is not sure, like we just went through the Cheshbon, it's always going to be a minimum of 7 days and a maximum of 17 days. Amalei Rav Adi Barav LeRava Lamali Kulei Timni Shiva V'Tishtri. Why do you need all of these days? She should count 7 clean days and be mutter to her husband, because even if she's a Zavah Gedola, she should only need 7 clean days. So Amalei Litkulei they need the Upiska Kamrinan. No, I'm not saying this is how long it takes her to become mutter Labaila. Of course, after 7 clean days, she'll become Mutaris Labaila. I'm saying, how long before she knows for sure that the next time she bleeds, it will definitely be Nida? So now the Gemara brings a brice about a carbon of a Zava, the carbon of the Zava. Tan Rabbanan, a Zava, after she counts 7 clean days and she becomes Tar from a Tumah, has to bring 2 birds, right? Shnei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yona. One of them is a Chatos, one of them is an Ola. The Ola is entirely burnt on the Mizbeach, and the Chatos gets eaten by Kohanim. Kola Toa Zavos Mevios Karban Ve'inonechal. So if she's not sure whether she was a Zava or not, so she brings the Karban, but Kohanim don't get to eat it, because the Chatos Ha'of gets Malika. So if it's Chulin, no one's going to be allowed to eat it. It's going to be a Nevela. Chutz mi Pischa Shiva Upischa Shmona Shemevios Karban V'nechal. Unless it was a case of a woman who saw 13 straight days, where it only takes her 7 days to become Tahora, but she knows for sure she's a Zava Gedola. Or a woman who bled for 12 straight days and it takes her 8 days till she figures it all out, but she knows for sure she was a Zav Gedola. So then she could bring a carbon and the carbon would even get eaten. So says Mar, Atu Kalato Zavos? What do you mean? Whenever a woman is not sure, she's automatically going to be chayiv to bring a carbon? Every time she's not sure, she's automatically a Zava? Vesu, Yom Echad Shnei Yamim Basu Suya Karboni? And if a woman only bled for 1 or 2 days, she's going to bring a carbon? There's no suffix. First of all, she may not be a Zava at all, she might be a Nida. But even if she is a Zava, she's only a Zava Katana. Only a Zava Gedola brings the carbon. Ela kol Zavos Hatos Mevius carbon Veinon Echal. No, we mean to say is those who might be a Zava Gedola, those women who bled for at least 3 days and therefore might be a Zava Gedola, bring the carbon, but the carbon doesn't get eaten unless she bled for 13 or 14 days, in which case she's 12 or 13 days, whatever the number was, in which case the carbon would even get eaten. Good. Next Mishnah. The days of Hesker, of a Nega, of Tzaraas, is always a minimum of 1 week and a maximum of 3 weeks. Pachs Mishvua Negei Adam, that you don't have less than a shvu, than 1 week. That's talking about Negei Adam, that sometimes 1 week is enough if a person has a Nega Tzaraas on his actual skin, if there's a Seir Lavan inside the Nega, or there's a Michyas Basar Chai inside the Nega, the Kohen is mitame him right away. But if you don't see those Simanim, suddenly closes him off, he has Yimei Hesker for 7 days, and at the end of that week, the Kohen will look at him again, and if the Simanim appear, or have the Nega has widened, has broadened, then he's going to be mitame him Bevadai. Otherwise, he's going to have to be masker him again. So that's the minimum will be 1 week if there's going to be hesker. V'lo yesal shlosh shavuos nigei batim. And it's never more than 3 weeks. That's talking about nigei batim, that sometimes it's going to require 3 weeks of Hesker in order to be mitayer. Because if you see a Nega in the walls of the house, the Kohen will be Maskir for 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, he'll look at it. If it hasn't spread, he'll be Maskir for another 7 days. If at the end of that second week, the Nega has spread or it stayed, so then the Kohen has to peel away some of the stones that have the Nega and the surrounding stones, and replace it with the others, and then close it off for another week. And if at the end of that third week, the Nega has not come back, so then he's mitar the bias, and if it has come back, then the bias is vaday tame. So Amr Papa Tzukaskal Kariel Elu Nige Adam, Mishpatech Tom Rabba, Elu Nige Batim. That by Nige Adam, the tzedakah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with the Mitzvah is very great, because it can only be 1 week of Hesker. Whereas by Nige Batim, it's Mishpatim Kashim. These are very hard Mishpatim to have to deal with, because it could be 3 weeks of being in limbo. Okay, Pashtei Dekrav B'Mai Ksiv. That's a nice way to darshan the Pasuk, but what's the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk? So I'm reviewed the Ilmalei Tzivkascha Karei Kel. If it not for the Tzedakah of Hashem being as high as the mountains, Miu Chalamel Defnei Mishpatecha Tahom Rabba. We would never be able to withstand the Mishpatim of Hashem. Rabba Amar Tzivkascha Karei Kel Mipreishim Mishpatecha Tahom Rabba. So we'll explain what that means. So B'Mai Kamifki, what is the Machlok between Rav Yehuda and Rabba? Vid Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. They're arguing about the Machlokas, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina. The Itmar, Rabbi Elazar Omar, Rabbi Lazar says, when you weigh two things, the Zechuyos and the Avonos on two sides of a scale, so what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? Kovesh. He makes it even by weighing down the side of the mitzvahs. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Nosei. No, he lifts up the side of the avonos by lightening the avonos. That's what he does in order to even it out for us. So Rabbi Krablazer, Rabbi holds like Krablazer that Kadosh Baruch Hu's matzdik the din by being kovesh the avonos under the kisei hakavod, and that's why he explains Sidkaska Karekel is because of Mishpatecha Tahom Rabba, that he's matzdik us by being kovesh and being mastir the mishpatim, by hiding away the mishpatim by in that way tachas kisei hakavod. And Rabbi Yehuda Krabios Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Yehuda also Krabios Rabbi Chanina, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's matzdik us by being magbia the scale up on the side of the avonos, and that's why we say if not for the tzedakah that Hashem does Kaharekel by being magbia the kafmos naim of the avonos, then we would never be able to stand bifnei mishpatecha, because the mishpatim would weigh us down, and in that way the Ribono Shel Olam is matzdik the din. So I thank Alicia in advance for the next month, and Bez Hashem, I'll be back in a couple of weeks. But have a wonderful summer, everybody.